Hey guys, I'm Dave. I'm an alcoholic. This is recorded, and that's scary. I had some really sick, egotistical thoughts when I got here. I was like, what if I become president and someone digs this up and then I'm screwed? They're all going to know. That's terrible, I know. I can't even become president because I was born in a different country. That law sucks. You know, your parents told you growing up, you could be president if you put your mind to it. Nope. Can't do it. I wanted to be an astronaut, but I'm too tall for that. There's an actual maximum height limit to be an astronaut. So, that was a great start to life. But seriously, I was born in Italy, 88, a year before Sandeep. Sandeep, you were great, by the way. Where are you? There you are. You're great, man. Yeah. They put you on the spot. I mean, when I had 90 days, if someone put me on the spot like that in front of this room, oh, I would have crapped my pants. Am I allowed to say that? I'm sorry. Okay. This is recorded. Pull it together. Mom went on a Europe trip after college and met my dad in Italy, and here I am. That was cool. Moved here when I was six. Went back to visit dad my whole life in the summertime. You know, that's a pretty big part of my story. I guess it's not. I just got drunk in a different place. I was a good kid. You know, I was loved school, sports. I played t-ball. I mean, everything that you're supposed to do when you're a kid. I had a great family, loving family. I had this kooky artist dad over in Italy, and then my mom, you know, teacher mom, and loving grandparents. Just good situation all around. And I, mind you, a few years ago, I probably would have told that a little differently. My perspective has changed pretty significantly. Good childhood. I was a good kid. Things were fine. I mean, you always hear speakers say how they always felt kind of different, you know, and they kind of like they were the center of the universe in a bad way. I felt the same way, you know. I always had this angst and kind of felt, you know, it was like high highs and low lows, you know. And then one day I found that booze was pretty awesome and made me feel like a king. So I started drinking at a very young age. I'm not sure when. I was a tween. I know I was still reading Goosebumps. So I was an in-betweener. I was like 12 maybe. And I was in Italy and started drinking Chianti wine, so that was a great start. That's just what there was in the cabinet. You know, the culture is a little different over there too. Kind of the opposite culture, probably. I mean, they were giving me wine and water from when I was like 10. And then as you get older, a little less water, a little more wine. Well, at some point, I figured out this alcohol thing was freaking awesome. And you know, just like everyone else, there were awesome times. There were good times. I don't remember a lot, really. I don't remember much of my life, which is kind of crazy. I remember a lot of settings, and even if I just say those, it's like, holy crap, man, that was crazy. Like Amsterdam, I don't know anything about that city, but I was there. I remember the trash cans say dank you on them. Like, thank you, that's how you say it in Dutch. And I thought that was great because I was a stoner. If you're from up north, down here we call it dank, y'all. I'm a redneck Italian, by the way. I love fishing and doing all that, but I also enjoy a good pair of leather shoes. told that joke before. I say a lot of the same stuff over and over again. Anyone who goes to meetings with me can pretty much probably guess which stories I'm going to tell, depending on what step we're talking about. And that's fine, you know, that's just how it works for me. When I figure something out a certain way, that's how I'm going to do it. There were good times. There were crazy times. A lot of fun was had. There were a lot of bad times, too, eventually. This is kind of a good, healthy mix in the beginning there, enough to keep me going. But then at some point, the consequences just started piling up. And even before that, there were tons of consequences, but I was always dodging them. I was pretty crafty, pretty shady, pretty shifty. I've encountered cops way more times than I've been arrested. I had the military police come in through my window and enter my home one night, and there were 20 of the worst people you would want in a home when the cops come in, just right there, and nothing happened. I really lucked out. Vague memory of being like in the middle of a retention pond in Oldsmar once with a few cop cars, like spotlights, and there's so many of those times where it's like, maybe that's a hint that, you know, I'm a little out of control at the age of like 14. But nope, I'm a stubborn one. So still relatively a good kid, you know, with these kind of blow-ups interspersed. Still pretty good in school and all that, sports. Tried to play basketball. I was never very good. And my mom told me that, so I know that's true. some point there, right around 16, somewhere in that age, the consequences were getting a little worse. Got busted drunk at school on St. Paddy's Day. I was way drunker than I thought I was, apparently. Got expelled that day from high school. And we're talking about like a 4-point-something grade point average kid. From going from that to being expelled, like that's the last thing you'd expect from me. But this is a powerful disease. So that happened. Didn't change anything. You know, I had so many family interventions from the age of like 14 to 16. You wouldn't believe it. And we'd sit down, and I got busted for this or that. And the family would voice their concerns and remind me that the alcoholism runs strong in our family. You know, I'd tell them, yeah, I want to change, I'm going to get better. You know, in the beginning, I was like, come on, this is stupid. And, you know, go get wasted the same night. But then eventually, when things started piling on and things started spiraling out of control, I started meaning it when I told them, yeah, you're right, I need to get things together, you know. I still didn't think I had any kind of serious issue, but you know, I started to realize that I had to tone it down, at least. That didn't happen. I got worse, much worse. Had another one of those family interventions. This one was pretty bad. This was my senior year of high school. And my mom couldn't handle me anymore. You know, like, I was just a wild man. And she kicked me out of the house, sent me off to Italy to live with Dad. And I dropped out of high school. That was the worst period of my life right there. Well, one of the worst periods of my life. When I went to Italy, I'd live with my grandma because she needed help around the house and she had more space and everything. So that's who I'd stay with when I was there. And just the crap that went on in this poor old lady's house, I'm just appalled today to think back on that. Stealing from everyone, doing all sorts of illegal stuff with really, really, really rough crowds. Not the kind of guys that you'd want to bring home to meet your parents. And but eventually, I don't even know what happened. Started talking to this girl on Facebook from back home, from here, and decided that I was going to straighten up and come back, finish high school, and this chick was going to save me, you know? I was going to straighten up for her. And that's funny to say now, based on how it ends. But came back, got back into school, went to night school 4 days a week, caught up to everyone, graduated on time, scholarship to UCF, the whole nine, you know? I have no idea what a crazy ride that was. Kept it together somehow, still partied, still did drugs and drank and everything, but kind of kept it in between the lines enough to get a degree. High school diploma, I mean, not a degree. That girl that was going to save me, eventually, I was getting out of hand, she said one day we were in a big fight, and you know, and she said, "You have to choose between me or the drugs and the booze." And I was like, "Easy. See you later." What a scumbag. You know, things really started to go downhill for me. I went off to college. My life was out of control at this point. There was no manageability. There was no, I had no power. I had no control. There was nothing. I was just a, you know, drug and alcohol fueled machine. And I lived just to get messed up. At 18 years old, I had stopped caring about everything and everyone, and I really didn't have much of a will to live besides just getting messed up all the time. And so the college years, everyone talks about the college years like they're so great. Man, I had a different experience. I did not go to any classes besides astronomy. It was pretty conducive to what I was doing those days. Things looked really cool in that class, let's just say that. And I pulled off a D in that class, believe it or not. That was awesome. I basically, you know, I was doing all sorts of illegal stuff that I would call business. All I ever did really was sleep and get messed up. And I was alone, even though there were people around me, you know, your typical, you know, drug dealer, parasite type people. But besides that, I was completely alone. And even if I would have been at a party or wherever, you know, in a room full of people, I still would have felt completely alone, like the only person in the room. Just completely empty. But salvation came. My turning point came in the form of 9 heavily armed police officers. It was 7 in the morning. It was a rude awakening, to say the least. I got taken down. Someone ratted me out. And that day, there was someone else in the bed with me, so they somehow got to stretch the warrant up to her place. She got arrested. Her roommate got arrested. The other roommate got arrested. My 2 roommates got arrested. So I got 6 people arrested. They weren't doing anything wrong. They were just college kids, you know, smoking doobies, listening to rock music. That was my turning point, man. That was it. That was the longest I'd been sober in God knows how long, just that one night in jail. It was all the clarity I needed to see what was going on and that I'd completely lost control. My life was out of control. Whoever I was before the drugs and alcohol took effect, I was not that person anymore. There was no more potential in me. There was nothing. I was an empty shell, and that's how I felt. I was completely done. I'd never meant it as much as I meant it. When I got out of jail, I was done. And then I got messed up again, of course. I didn't have a choice. I didn't have a choice. I didn't even last a few hours before I got out. And that's really what hit it home for me, you know, and that's when I got really scared and called my family. Grandpa came to the rescue, packed me up, moved out the same day. Detoxed on an air mattress in a room with nothing but water and some food, some magazines. I didn't, you know, the family had no idea what I was on. So there was no medical treatment, and it was miserable. I'll never forget that, and I never want that again. Ended up going to Turning Point of Tampa, and you know how it is. Had second thoughts. Didn't really want to do it as I was walking through the doors. Boy, I had a wake up call. When they admit you at Turning Point, they put you on a scale and they take your picture. And I weigh 220 pounds now, unfortunately. About 200 is the right weight for me. But I weigh 220 now. And when I got into Turning Point, I was 150 pounds. And I had no idea. I thought I was perfectly healthy and everything was fine until they put me on the scale and then took my picture, showed me that, and I was horrified and just so scared because I had no idea. You know, I had no idea. And it seemed like it was just such a short period of time, but really I'd been going spiraling out of control for a long time. And, you know, treatment was crazy. Getting sober was crazy. You know, I just like everyone, I didn't get into treatment and, you know, well, some people are like this, I guess, but I was not gung-ho off to the races. Let's do this. I had my second thoughts every day. I wanted to get drunk and high every single day. I felt terrible every day. High highs, low lows, nothing changed. I was on a roller coaster and I was sick. And that's what I was. I was sick, and I needed a cure, not a cure, but a treatment. And so I started working this program. I don't really know why. I got a sponsor because I liked his tattoo, Brian Kay, and he was awesome. And he was just what I needed, is the softer side of things. And he held my hand through this, and we worked the steps. Step one, I'm going to go through the steps. I know that's annoying, but screw you. I'm doing it. Step one was done, man. My life was out of my hands. I was out of control. I didn't have a choice whether I was going to drink or not. Done. So that was fine. It was when you get into the other steps, that's when I started to have some trouble. I was an atheist when I got here. Adamant. I don't really know why, or I never really gave much thought to it, except no way, there can't be a God. But Brian told this amazing story about pancakes, and I had just enough willingness to sit down one day in a nice little shaded area by a creek at Turning Point and give it some thought. And just the act of me giving it some thought was all it took. I cracked that door. I was willing to give it a shot. And just being willing, whatever happened, it opened a floodgate in my mind. And in that moment, I had one of these white light moments. Kind of things. In that moment, I was at peace. My mind had shut up for the first time in years and years and years. And I noticed everything around me. You know, the wind's blowing, there's birds chirping, you know, just like some cheesy movie. But that's how it was, because my mind had shut up for the first time ever. You know, and then later on I would find out that there's something to that. So then it was time to move on with the steps, and I got out of treatment and begrudgingly took their advice and got into a halfway house. So I lived at Koala House, and for anyone who's been there, you know there's like a fish tank and there's a huge fish in it. Yeah, well, there used to be, now there's refrigerators there because they have 40 refrigerators, but there used to be like a little nook there, and there's a chair and like a little table. And it was the perfect four-step spot, right? So I'd sit there, and I'd have my notebook, and I'd stare at that fish. And I did that day after day after day, and I didn't write a thing. And weeks went by, and I swear to God, I could see this fish start to grow. And just sitting there stewing in my pain, you know. I'd have a couple things jotted down, whatever, you know, like bold letters, tears, like, oh, it was a mess. But one day, finally just said, you know what, screw this. The pain got great enough, and I started writing. And wouldn't you know, it was a lot easier and quicker than I ever made it up to be in my head. And let me tell you what happened after that, when I did my fifth and sixth and seventh and the rest of the steps with Brian, was incredible. That feeling I had my whole life when I was a kid, you know, just feeling out of place and feeling, you know, just the angst, and then what developed into a complete sense of emptiness, or, you know, I had been so selfish my whole life. I had never, ever, ever given thought to anything or anyone besides myself and my little bubble of selfishness. That was my whole life. And the day I realized that was the day I changed forever. And that's the biggest thing that's ever happened to me in my life in this program. I came to believe in a higher power. I learned that I was ridiculously selfish. I learned that my goal here in AA is to not be selfish, to get outside of myself and kind of live this big, beautiful world that's out there and help other people and everything. And when I started doing that, it was amazing. It was a completely different life, you know. When I got sober, I thought this was the end. I thought, you know, end of the road, no more fun. Life is all downhill from here. I'm just going to get old and, you know, take Social Security and then die. That's not the case, though. I'm living a whole new life. I've started over. And it's amazing. And I had a completely clean slate. And I'm not even a little bit like the person I was back then, or not even a little bit like the person I was a year ago, because this spiritual program, I'm constantly changing, constantly growing. So that was incredible. I changed forever, and there's no going back. I only ever tried to get sober, well, really tried to get sober once. I got through these steps. I did all of them, and now I don't see any other way to live my life, you know. There's no other option for me. You know, this was the beginning. It wasn't the end. I've done so many amazing things. I've lived a full life being sober. I've been sober 7 years, by the way, and I forgot to say that. I got sober April 6, 2007. But I've had a full life in the past 7 years. Put together all the years before that, and it's nothing compared to these past 7 years. It's amazing. And not just all the material stuff. I mean, I've gotten all that, and that's amazing. I'm so blessed. I've got an amazing career. Got the greatest friends and family and everyone, and everything's just perfect. Really is. There's, you know, obviously difficulties on the road, but get through that with the help of everyone in AA and grow from it. But just some examples, like how much time do I have? I don't have time. I didn't bring a watch. 20 minutes? 20 minutes to go? All right. Tell some jokes or something. Went to Europe with Brian K., my first sponsor, when I was sober. I was about 18 months sober. What an amazing experience. You know, we went all around. We went to an international conference in Portugal, and that was amazing. It was us three, because Dave K. was there. That's who we went to visit. And some random guy from California who's wife had died and left a bunch of insurance money, and he was going to Amsterdam to spend it all. And I hope that guy made it. I don't know. Yes, conference in Portugal, amazing. Meetings in Portuguese, no idea what they said, but it sounded amazing. And I felt better just going to a meeting in Portuguese. You know, we went to France. The coolest thing happened there. We went to this bridge where Brian's grandpa's ashes were scattered, and we went there and, you know, visited and everything. And then we realized we were completely broke. We had run out of money. That was the end of the line. We couldn't get back to Florence where my family was. We were screwed. We'd exhausted most of our relatives and everyone. And we're sitting in this internet cafe trying to figure out how to scrounge up enough money for a flight. And this guy overhears us, and he's like, "Hey, I have a son, and I heard you guys, and I wanted to give you this to help you out." He gave us a $100 bill, complete stranger. And he said, "Here's my card. If you ever want to pay me back, you can just mail it." And we're walking out of there, and I'm looking at his card. The guy's from Alaska, by the way. I mean, what are the odds? And I'm saying, "Thank you, Tom. Thank you, Tom. Thank you, Tom." And we're standing on the bridge where Brian's grandpa's ashes were scattered. And he's like, "Why do you keep saying my grandpa's name?" And I'm like, "No way." So we had a guardian angel that day, and that was such a cool experience. And that was one of many on that trip. Just amazing stuff, man, amazing stuff. My eyes have been opened to a whole other world that's out there that I never knew was possible. I had a sponsee, a lot of you guys know him, Matt F., and he bounced in and out of every rehab in the country. I think he's been to like 11 rehabs. But he finally got sober this last time, and I was sponsoring him, and he was a couple years sober, and he's doing great, by the way. He's up in North Carolina kicking butt in law school and everything. But he was a couple years sober, and his dad got sick, and he called me, and he wanted me to go with him to see his dad for what ended up being the last time ever. And I got to be there with a guy that we got sober together. We worked on this program together while his dad was dying, And his dad looked at us, and he looked at his son, who'd been a screw-up for his whole life. And he looked at me, and he looked at his wife, and he just smiled, and he said, something to the effect of, I feel so much better knowing that you're okay, Matt." And what an amazing experience, And I'm actually going through the same thing right now. My dad's sick, and I don't know if he's going to make it. He's got pretty advanced stomach cancer. And, my whole life I was angry at him and thought that he'd neglected me and never gave me a chance, and we never got to know each other, and we never had that TV dad-son relationship that you see. But I'm sober now, and I don't have the luxury of thinking that way anymore. And what I realized was I've been a complete a-hole my whole life to everyone, especially him. And I walked all over this guy, and I just used him to steal money from and take advantage of. But since I've been sober, we've gotten to know each other, and we've grown closer, and it's been an amazing experience. And now he told me the same thing. Whatever happens, I'm so happy about how you are and how everything's going. And he came to Florida this year for the first time in like 15 years to see me, and he's just so happy and proud, and couldn't be better. And what a blessing, man. It's all because of this program, seriously. That's not a cliche that we say. That's a real thing, Had it not been for this program and me being sober, I would be a complete screw-up and a negative thing in my dad's life. But instead, I can be there for him and be a positive thing in his life. So that's amazing. Sponsoring guys is incredible. It's so funny sometimes. I've got one kid. I sponsored him a couple years ago. He was amazing, man. We're doing the step work together, and I saw so much of myself in him, and he came to believe in a higher power in a roundabout way like me, and it was kind of tough. And then finally became willing and did a four step after dragging his feet and being in a bunch of pain, and then did a four step, and we're doing this fifth step together, and I just see the life coming back into him, and he's brightening up, and he's like, you can see this genuine smile forming on his face, and he's like, "So this whole thing is that I'm selfish?" I was like, "Yeah, man." He's like, "Oh." I'm like, "I'm on a spiritual mountaintop right now, bro." I was right there with them, you know. So cool. But there's so many stories like that that I could tell that, you know, we could sit here for hours talking about it, but instead I think we'll end a little early in a minute here. So we can all go to dinner and stuff. I'm starving. I can tell you this. I've not worked a perfect program. I don't know anyone who has. We progress rather than perfection. But I've done a lot of different kind of little pieces of the program. You know, there's a bunch of things that make up a whole program of recovery. In a perfect world, I do all of them all the time. But I can tell you, I've done a lot of the psychology kind of thing, you know, or therapy. Or I'm at a meeting and I'm just complaining about my problems, or calling people and complaining about my problems, or trying to get to the bottom of everything. Like, why do I feel this way? Oh, God, why? And I've done that. And the other thing I've done is actual action, you know, working with other people, going to meetings, doing service work, reading out of a big book, praying, meditating, all those things. And I can tell you, I don't even know what the factor would be, but action is so freaking effective compared to just coming here to dump my problems on everyone and expecting to become better. You know, I don't get better by just talking about things and getting through things. You know, I become a better person and I grow by walking through things and doing this program stuff. And that's the moral of the story, really. You know, if I'm having a tough time or in a crappy place, there's really simple questions I can ask myself. It should almost be a checklist on my 10 steps, but it's not. Maybe I'll start doing that. Probably not. Did I go to a meeting today? Check yes or no. Did I read out of a big book? Did I pray? Did I talk to my sponsor? Did I talk to a sponsee? If I don't have sponsees, did I talk to some newcomers? You know, all those things. And then, all right, if I've got a yes checked off on everything, which is pretty freaking rare, I don't know of any day where I've done all of that in one day, but if I've got a yes everywhere, all right, what about the rest of my life? Because this isn't, you know, I mean, we still have to be responsible human beings, you know. Just because I get sober doesn't mean I don't have to make my bed and I can eat McDonald's every day, you know. So I do all that stuff too, and that's important, you know. Exercise is important. A good, healthy diet is important. Working hard is important. All those things, you know. But all of that was so foreign to me, you know. I didn't know any of that. But now I do. It's taken a long time. It took 26 years for me to grow up. Maybe a little less, I don't know. But what an amazing life, really, guys. I guess my little quick sales pitch would be that this program works, period. I mean, you've got umpteen examples of that in here. So if you're new, just do what we do what we say, and things will get better for you too. So that's all I got. Thank you.